Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen, and I'm joined by Laurie Blake.
All right, mate.
How's it going, bud?
I'm all right, yeah. Thanks.
This is the last time you and I are going to do this.
I know.
It all changes as of next week.
I'll just be here chatting to Pete.
Oh,
bless him.
Yeah, so Pete is essentially going to be running that show, I guess. He's going to be editing it anyway.
I'll be running the show.
Oh, you'll always be running the show. So as of next week, I won't be doing the NXT Rambles anymore because I'll be doing AEW Dynamite shows with Ollie Davis.
Gutted, mate.
So you're going to be doing NXT with Pete. And then the magazine show. I mean, we might end up doing magazine shows together, but we certainly won't be in this NXT mold.
The pocket.
Exactly. And then, Pete and Dave, Just Dave, will be doing the Saturday SmackDown reviews.
Ooh.
Packed old time. What
Who
a great
is this Dave?
Who is
Who
this?
Is this Dave?
Who is this Dave indeed?
Dave the Knave.
We've just been calling him Dave, Just Dave. But anyway, this is an email. It was quite lovely, really. This comes in from Sean, and it is for the Last Luke and Laurie NXT podcast.
Whoa.
Hi, Luke, Laurie, and hopefully Pete's around too. Pete is on holiday this week. I've been a long-time fan, pod swatter, and happy to be a pledgehammer too. I've always wanted to write in, but never got round to it. I have a few Rusev Hayes and Get Betters and the like to share in future emails. With that being said... Sorry, with this being the last week of Luke and Laurie doing the NXT reviews together, though, I felt the impetus to write in about something you guys, brackets, but not Ollie, close brackets, would appreciate, D&D.
I knew it was going to be D&D.
For years, I've been curious about D&D, and since hearing you guys talk about it, I felt motivated to try it out. But despite being a huge geek with several geek friends, none of them were interested in playing with me. Until last month, an old friend of mine from film school who kept in touch with me on social media posted that he was going to start a new group and be the DM. Excuse me.
Boss.
We actually hadn't hung out in about 12 years, but I immediately messaged him saying I was interested if he had room in his group. Thankfully, he did. In preparation, I read some of the player's handbook. Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Reading some of the player's handbook, that's not an easy task.
I've done a game where no one's read it, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It's like, it's okay.
Because if I was to look at the player's handbook and like just flick through it, I wouldn't be like, I wonder what section I should just pick to read.
I think you either read all of it or none of it,
yeah.
And it's better. Like, I read all of it before I played, and yeah. I was kind of fine, I think. But yeah, having read none of it is... often easier as well because you just go, yes, what the DM says is correct.
Exactly, yeah.
And often you avoid arguments if you just go, well, what he said is fine.
Yeah.
Or they said is fine.
Because there have been times in our campaign where our DM has said something because one of our characters has done something, and then nerdy Gary on the end, I could hear him flicking through the pages.
There must be something must for be this. Something. I've got something for
something
this.
Something I can do. Pushes. I think actually I can do this, and then he can roll 12 dice or whatever it is that he does.
A million dice.
A million dice. And he's got proper well heavy dice. Like they're made out of kryptonite, I think. It's made out of adamantium.
Yeah, his side of the table always looks like the surface of the moon by the end of the time we finish playing.
He's got like very heavy like metal dice, but he rolls them into his own tin so he doesn't damage the table. And he realized recently that he's denting the tin that they're coming.
What are they made of?
Anyway, I read some of the player's handbook and watched a load of videos, mostly on character creation. We're playing 5th edition, by the way.
Booyaka.
King of editions, I hasten to add. None of this 3.5
luck. I like 3rd.
I like 3.5. I like doing calculus while playing Dungeons & Dragons. God. Oh, mate, I don't care what the door is made
Did
out
I hit
of.
It? Did I?
Just that part alone was a lot of fun coming up with my character. He's a gnome ranger named Aldefork Bramble. Good name,
That's
mate.
That's a good name.
But my friends call him Spoon.
Spoon.
Brackets, instead of fork. It's ironic, you see. He also rides a black Mameluke dog named Obsidian, or Obi for short.
Obsidian.
Obsidian, thank you very much. I actually made a 3D model of them on the website designed for creating tabletop gaming figures, which my friend is going to print out for me on his 3D printer, image attached. Oh, that's cool.
I feel like we've used this website for the figure printing.
Mm.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
We had our first session last month, and it was so much fun. I didn't know any of the other party members before, just my friend the DM. They all seem really nice, and I can't wait to get to know them, brackets, and their characters better. I feel like I've already made some new friends while exploring a creepy haunted mansion together. We're doing the Curse of the Strahd campaign.
Sweet.
I knew there was something off about those kids. We're all very excited for the next session. We decided to meet on the first Saturday of every month. Sorry for the longish email. Watching, listening to you guys has helped me through some tough times. I wanted to share a story about I wanted to chat about someone who your love for D&D has helped bring into the fold. And I also wanted to do it and say it was a lovely time with the D&D and NXT boys. Looking forward to the next era of WrestleTalk and the Wednesday Night Wars. Thank you for everything. Have a good show. Sincerely, Sean. P.S. Next time I write in, it will be about an NXT-related Rusev hate, which I guess will be for Pete and Laurie. Should that still go to Luke's email? No, send that to Pete.
Send it to Pete.
Yeah, I'm going to get Pete to, like, on the episodes, like, get people to send them to him as well. And we can always cross-reference emails and stuff.
Sweet.
But it's because I'm not going to be on every show anymore. Usually, I am.
Mm.
Like, since we've been doing the Wrestle Ramble,
Take the clawed hands. I've got prices clawed hands
off
the podcast.
It's difficult, Pete. It's difficult, Laurie. I'm not going to lie. It is a bit difficult for me. But of the 5 shows we're going to be doing in a week, is it 5? No, 4 shows.
Mm.
I'm only going to be on 2 of them. Whoa. No, sorry, it is 5. I'm going to be on 3 of them, 3 of the 5.
Yeah. It's a brave new world. Did I tell you about the time that
There's the 3D character.
Oh, that's boss. Oh, I like the dog.
Yeah.
That's wicked.
That is cool.
Did I tell you about the time I DM'd for a group of people who hadn't played before?
The Explosive Animal, lads.
Yeah, quite recently. Mm. So I'd sort of adapted the Storm King's Thunder campaign. I sort of threw out all the overarching plot because they just wanted to be able to drop in and drop out. So I just made them sort of a questing group of monster hunters. They discovered a deer being attacked by wolves as like the first encounter and got stuck in, as you do, except one of them who skulked off around the back and just, like, weirdly, she just refused to be part of anything. She was playing a rogue, which I understand completely, but she just didn't want anything to do with talking to people, interacting with anything, basically taking part in the game.
Mm.
They save this deer, and it's like, it's a huge stag, and it's got golden antlers. And one of them, like, heals it, saves it. It bows down and lets them ride it. And it takes them to this, like, cave.
Mm.
They go into the cave, and it's like a dwarven, abandoned dwarven mine that's mostly crumbled, but some of the halls are still alive. Inside, they get attacked by a drider who'd sort of killed all the dwarves, is the idea. They took that to mean that the deer had set them up. So instead of being like the deer is taking you to this like secret rewarding, there's like really good treasure in here place, they were like, that D dear bastard who set us up. So while the guys were inside fighting the Dryder, the rogue sneaks off to follow the deer to be like, I'm going to see where this rat's going.
Where's it going?
The deer's gone off up the mountain into this like beautiful little serene pool, like a heated hot spring, and it's basically bathing in the hot spring. And she's like, I'm gonna get in the hot spring with the deer. Goes in the hot spring, goes up to the deer. It's like, what do you want to do? She's like, oh, I want to pet the deer. Pets the deer. I want to stab the deer in the neck. So the game ended. They killed the Dryder, all the other stuff, got all the treasure, etc. Meanwhile, she's just filleting the deer in a hot spring,
yeah,
while blood pools outwards. It's like beautiful. Described this like oasis in the cold mountains. Like it was, yeah, almost like spring was in this tiny little area. This tree looming over this beautiful pool. This amazing animal basking in it, dappled sunlight gleaming off its golden antlers. Blood, blood.
Right, well, we also want to talk about wrestling on this show, so let's get into some of that now, because the Wednesday Night War kicks off next week and NXT are preparing for that war, but it's not a competition. Here's the show. Final week of NXT, where it is split between USA Network and the WWE Network. Next week, it is all 2 hours on the USA Network, and it's going to go head-to-head with AEW Dynamite. And it's not a competition. They don't see them as competition, where there's definitely not a war, but they have really loaded up next week's show.
I would be surprised if they were like, Steve Austin's going to be here. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
Hogan's here.
Shawn Michaels is going to make an appearance. Exactly, like, yeah.
Brock Lesnar's coming.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's like, so next week's this whole episode this week felt like, not filler, but it was very much geared towards putting all the pieces in place for next week.
It was the prologue of a book.
Yeah. And while I really enjoyed, especially the first half of the show, really enjoyed. Everything else kind of felt inconsequential because it was all sort of just going, yeah, you know, something's going to happen next week.
Well, that was it.
Next week, we just started doing this for no reason.
Yeah, so it was like the first hour was so good. Mm. And it was basically the hour that we thought they should have done last week. Do you remember like last week, the first hour was fine, but then the second hour that was on the WWE Network was so good.
It's weird
like,
to have flip reversed at this one.
Yeah, so they flip reversed it this week, which I think is a good thing. They really front-loaded that first hour with Killian Dane, Matt Riddle, with Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, the return of Dakota Kai. I was like, wow, this is really, really awesome. Then the second half on the WWE Network was actually quite pants.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but the whole time I was like, but we still got that big surprise with the six man at the end. Who are the tag partners going to be? And then they absolutely crapped the bed with that disappointing reveal. I was like, oh, you. I was watching it in the office and I went, oh, come on. And he looked at me and was like, yeah, it's crap, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rubbish. What a poor choice. Of all the things you could have done, like, as well, like, you could have got Mustache Mountain this
week. I thought it was going to be Mustache Mountain, like, in all honesty.
You've got so many people. It could have been a surprise. I don't know. It was one of those things where, like, I think their plan for next week is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still sort of like, if they're doing this, as they said at the end, I can't remember what the end of the match was, but they said it was going to... Oh, it was the end of the Riddle spot where Riddle wins the number one contendership.
Mm-hmm.
And they said next week is going to be a night of champions in which... Basically, every title is going to be defended, as far as we know, apart from the North American.
Ah, well, on that, I just wanted to bring up, Dave Meltzer said, I was told that they were going to do four, but they've only announced three. So apparently there is plans to do four title matches next week.
Is it Walter, though?
It could be Walter Kushida. That's the other side of it, yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like everything's going to be defended, which does mean that basically Undisputed Era is just going to be in every match. Which
get used to that theme, folks.
It is fine, yeah, but also... not as exciting as showing the full breadth of your roster. If you can have this opening match that we had tonight with Keith Lee Dijakovic, like, as just the kickoff to the show, that could have opened next week's show as like a, oh yeah, by the way, we're crazy over here. And then you build to the big Adam Cole, Matt Riddle to close the 2-hour show.
Like, that's it, yeah. So that, like, next week's show is really heavily loaded. As you said, it's like a Clash of Champions, essentially.
Mm. It's a mini pay-per-view.
It's a mini pay-per-view. Absolutely, it is, yeah, because they've announced for next week, it's Adam Cole versus Matt Riddle for the NXT Championship, a match that was at one point going to be the main event of NXT Toronto. Mm-hmm. Street Profits versus Undisputed Era for the tag titles, which is the now their third encounter. So quite recently, they had one on pay-per-view, one on TV, and then one here over the titles. And it's the Shayna Baszler versus Candice LeRae match. And as Meltzer said, apparently there might be a fourth match added in there as well, which could be Leo Rush versus Drew Gulak, because that was...
Oh, yeah.
Because Leo Rush won the Cruiserweight Championship number one.
That would be really cool.
Walter Kushida, or it could be Roderick Strong versus whomever.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was like
Dream,
a
Dream, maybe?
Well, I was going to say he could lay out an open challenge and it's someone from Raw or SmackDown.
Oh, now that would be cool.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just Steve Austin. Yeah. Or it's Austin. Yeah, it's the Undertaker. Here to be your North American champion.
I really want
champion.
To win that title. I want to be the North American badass. North American soul master.
So it's going to be a big, big show next week, but it's not a competition, to go up against AEW. But, you know, for my money, I think that's the smart move. And I think that AEW have been... They've been counter-programming each other, essentially. Because AEW announced we're doing Cody and Sammy. We're going to do the women's championship match between Nyla Rose and Riho. We've got the six-man with the Elite versus Jericho and likely LAX. But they've also announced Hangman Page versus Pac.
Oh, yeah.
A match that was supposed to be part of Double or Nothing. So next week, holy, like... It's a big old week next week in terms of matches, right?
And, and Hell in a Cell is like somewhere at the bottom of that, like, oh, well, you know.
And you couple that
it's
with...
It's like The Fiend might win the Universal title at the end of next week and care that much.
So next week, Raw is like stacked because it's the season premiere of Raw.
Yep.
Then you've got the AEW and NXT show. Then you've got Brock versus Kofi and the Horsewomen match.
Oh,
and Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon and ladder match. And then you've got Hell in a Cell, which, as you say, has got Fiend versus Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship. Roman and Bryan versus the Bludgeon Brothers. Like, next week is an insane week of wrestling.
What a time to be
What a time. What a time to be a wrestling fan. And speaking of NXT really putting preparations in to go up against AEW, they were very, very, very pushing hard on this show. That's good sentence work for you. That next week it is going to be limited commercial interruptions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite phrase. My phrase of the day. Limited commercial interruptions.
They were pushing that so hard. There is going to be limited commercial interruptions. And if, you know, if AEW had done those limited commercial interruptions themselves, we might have had an ITV deal. It could have worked.
Do you think, though, the setup for NXT next week has been good? Like, because they jumped the gun by being on TV 2 weeks early, but in this weird format, which I think personally has hurt the format, because last week's was weirdly backwards. The WWE Network side was way better. And then this week's was the other way around.
Yeah.
The right half was better this week, but it still just made the show feel a bit stupid when you have to watch both 2 hours and be like,
second
not
hour
only
really
is it
dragged.
Split in the middle, you've split it so hard in the middle that the second hour was a waste of time.
It's dragged so much.
Yeah. And then, so we've had 2 weeks basically where they could have just shown us the product they were going to make as like an aperitif, like teaser, like an amuse-bouche, like here, get ready for next week because this is what's going to happen. And instead, they've kind of half done that. And said all the interesting stuff's going to happen next week.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, what I'm particularly interested about next week is that you've got to imagine, particularly going by what happened last week, they're going to do a title change.
Mm.
So which title do you change?
Baszler.
I think it's Baszler, but then...
Or Kushida becomes the United Kingdom champion.
I'll be in for it.
Yeah.
As much as I love Walter, like... I don't know, man. Like, I almost feel like that maybe the Profits will win back the tag straps, but they feel like they're definitely part of Raw now, sort of as that sort of Greek chorus. But
I feel like Cole could drop it. Like, there's a story you could do with Cole dropping it.
But my question to that would be, yeah, I was going to say, my question is then, it's like we've been spending the entire year building to the Undisputed Era draped in gold, only to take it off them 2 weeks later.
I mean, they want a title change, right? So they need...
I'm only assuming they would do, because they like to do this sort of thing on these sorts of shows.
I think it's going to be the women's title, if it's going to be anything. Or it will be...
Does Candice feel like the right person, though?
Maybe for like a week, and then they do something with it. Yeah. I don't know. But like, taking anything off the Undisputed Era now kills that momentum
completely,
and it just ruins the, like, what was the point of the prophecy story?
Yeah, this year long story we've been telling.
Yeah.
I say year long, it's been started this year. Yeah,
I don't know, maybe it's the cruiserweight title.
Do you know what, if the cruiserweight title's on the line, I could definitely see that changing.
Yeah, and I think like Leo winning it would be a really big deal, and people would be really into that in NXT. People would go nuts for it, like,
so over last week.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so maybe if it is the cruiserweight, I could certainly see it being Leo, but at this point, of all the titles that could possibly be on the line, that's the only one where I can see it changing. Because I just don't think, as much as I love Candice LeRae, and I think that she is over with the crowd, she's not over to the level where it's like, you're the person to beat Baszler.
They've not, well, the thing is, they've not done enough with Candice at
any
exactly
point. That's exactly it. It's not, it's not her fault.
She's been a filler character. And even here, she is still a filler character because this was spun out of the Io Shirai feud, which was meant to be for Kairi Sane. Yeah. So, yeah.
Poor Rhea Ripley's been forgotten about, more or less.
Well, exactly.
She got screwed out of her title match.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
Like, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I still think it's Dakota Kai's the person, but
Dakota would be good.
Yeah.
I mean, they could both do the same story, I think, is the key. With, they both feel like the same character, but Dakota has had more development in
indeed
her character.
So, NXT have incredibly prepared for war next week. What a week it is going to be.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's see what you think up in them super chats with Randy Andy Datsun.
Well, if you go to wrestletalk.com, or if you went there a week ago and you saw the article which was about Kushida needing to get two mystery tag partners, you'll see that I predicted that it would be Breezango. So I'm just saying how incredibly intelligent I am.
Well, well done for
you. So you, what you're saying is you picked the worst option possible, yeah, and they also went with it.
Yeah.
Well done for having a disappointing imagination, Rand.
Thank you very much.
Funny, I mean, I'll save it when we get to the show, but I was going to say, when I thought at the start of the show, oh, it'll be the Britann Brawlers, because Kushida said, I've got friends all around the world. And I was like, oh, it makes sense, the Britann Brawlers. And then they came out for their match. I was like, huh, it's not them. This is at an even bigger level of mystery for me. That was fucking Breezango.
Yeah. What would it be weird if it was Imperium again?
Start Recording says, out of everyone in the NXT roster, who are the top three most likely, in your guys' opinion, to win a Royal Rumble at some point down the line?
Cole.
Ooh. Yeah, Cole, most likely.
Cole's got to be one of them.
Riddle.
Riddle, maybe, yeah. Depends on how much they want.
But he trades it in just for a Goldberg match. That's,
or some weed.
Or, yeah, yeah, or some snacks.
Hey, bro, you got some crisp back there?
I don't want the title. I just need some Watsits.
Oh, sorry, we need a third name. Yeah. And
Baszler.
Yeah, Baszler's a great shout. Yeah.
Ripley.
Also, yeah.
Jesse Venable says, that Keith Lee top rope Canadian destroyer, I am in awe.
Bloody hell, yeah. So cool.
They keep finding new things. Like, they keep being like, well, if we just do a cruiserweight match, yeah, then that'll get over.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Start recording again. So it's funny how NXT's next pay-per-view is War Games while they will be in this war.
Indeed they will. Yeah, indeed they will.
You would think, it's almost like I would have thought they might have not done War Games as their first, like, up against AEW pay-per-view with all the new people coming. Because it's quite a sort of complex thing to put across, the idea that, like, we're going to do two rings inside a cage, blah, 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 blah. This is this big, obviously a cool marquee match, but it involves a lot of rules. And you could have just done something a bit easier for people to sort of get behind, because you're aiming to bring in new viewers by having NXT on TV.
But this was obviously a last-minute decision.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, obviously, if you'd planned this
properly. Yeah.
George Wadilove says, I rewatched Danny screaming Oni like 69 times.
I love that. He like summoned Oni Lorcan like he was Rita Repulsa.
Oh my god, it was
make my monster growl!
So good. Oni! And then he just went, it's incredible.
That was the only good thing in that.
Laramie Eschnauer says, Andy and the boys, are you ready for the war?
Yeah, I mean, I am. Although, yeah, very sad. This is my last NXT ramble. So it's bittersweet.
Traitor.
Tony Khan pays me lots of money.
Yeah, that's it. You blooming AEW mark. Austin, not even a company. It's just a t-shirt company.
Austin Baker says, well, what's the point of Walter now? That was lame.
In what sense?
I couldn't tell you. Just what he said.
Came out and beat up Kushida.
Yeah, at the end of a fairly weird, boring.
In all fairness, I thought they'd bothered to fly him over. Yeah, like, could get him on two flights.
There was a bit. There was a bit where Nigel at the beginning said, Walter's so confident in Imperium, he's not even going to come out to ringside." I was like, "Yeah, he's not in the country. He's not in the country."
I made the exact same snarky note, and then he came out at the end. I was like, "Oh, that's a genuine surprise.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, maybe he stayed.
Yeah, I like Walter. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
James
he's
Jones
been to Disney World."
Says Keith Lee versus Dijak ranks up with the best out of seven with Booker T versus Benoit.
Not sure I would go with Booker T Benoit as like the all-time classic WWE matches.
Sheamus Cesaro's.
Well, the Benoit Jericho matches I thought were way better than the Benoit Booker T matches from like 2000, like their series of matches they had across pay-per-views. But no, I think you're right, and I still think my favorite thing about this Lee Dijak feud is they still haven't done that PWG match, which means there's still quite a lot left in the tank.
Oh yeah,
it's just impressive stuff.
I just don't know how they keep finding things that, like, there were so many good we'll get to it in a bit, but there's so many good callbacks in this match to that the last match they had.
Yeah, totally
brilliant.
And lastly for now, and this one's for you, Laurie, I don't know where this is coming from, but it's Seth Amphetamines says, Laurie Blake has STDs.
No,
I didn't think so either. It's a very strange message. But he is a Patreon, so I thought I should
read
it out.
He is indeed a Patreon. He's one of our Patreon pledge hammers. He's asked for his name to be changed twice.
Yeah. So there you go.
And he asked for it just after I'd done the shout out as well. And I was like, oh, I should have checked this earlier. That's my fault now. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog. Anyway, let's crack on into the full review of this show. We've got a video package plugging last week's debut on USA, and I just thought to myself, why wasn't that shown on Raw and SmackDown? Like, honestly, they kept saying on Raw and SmackDown this week, God, did you see NXT last week? There was all this great stuff, and then we'll just move on to something else. I'm like, guys,
we don't have the time to show you the package.
The video package is right there. Yeah. Like, it's all... You could easily have shown this on Raw and SmackDown to make people go like, oh, maybe I'll watch that
as well. There's a few too many We Are NXTs in this video package. But other than that, it was pretty good. Yeah.
Undisputed Era opened the show on like this little special stage above the commentary
table. Yeah, like they were the Pope.
That's a little bit. They just came out on the top and then clearly left because Kathy Kelly was up there afterwards.
Little four-man Pope team just up there for a wave. I was like, okay, cool. So they're going to watch the match? Like, you know, because if they came out for the like the Riddle Dane match. That would make sense. They're watching totally, to see who Cole's going to face. It's like, no, they just came out to be like, hey. I'm
just going to watch it like Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Just have their
own.
Anyway, we kicked things off in perfect fashion with that Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic. Can't say it's a rematch because it's the third match in this series of NXT matches they've had. First one ended in a double countout. Mm-hmm. Dijak picked up the win a couple of weeks ago. And now we've got this third match here. And, I mean, it just gets better and better, really, doesn't it? It's just, like, what else is there to say? It's so good.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thing that I thought before the match started. So this week they did, at the beginning of this match specifically, they did a tale of the tape. And they did one later on for Candice and Shayna Baszler, which is a sports-style presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Not a competition. It's just a sports-style yeah. presentation. But I thought that was quite a cool
yeah.
little thing to start doing. Like,
yeah, I really liked it.
Obviously inspired by somebody else, I think.
I really like a tale of the tape, yeah. I mean, we had Dijak chokeslamming Lee on the apron. I loved the bit actually before that when Lee pounced him over the ropes. Like Dijak took this amazing yeah. bump over it. It looked so cool. Got Lee slamming him very, very hard. One of my other favorite spots was when Dijak finally managed to slam his head into the top turnbuckle.
Yeah.
And Lee just sort of rose up with like, oh, you done messed up, boy.
Yeah, but that was a great callback yeah. to the spot from like when they made so much out of that spot in the last match, which yeah, I was really praising for. It's like they were both sold just bumping your head into the turnbuckle like it was the end of the world and nobody wanted it to happen.
Yeah. Big corkscrew dive. Just incredible so cool. stuff here. They sadly fell down a bit during the match, but I think they picked it up very, very quickly. And the crowd wanted this to work so well that yeah. they themselves like...
They had a little fumble on a guillotine spot that yeah. I think was meant to sort of go into a power lift something.
I think
but
so,
they ended
yeah.
up doing a sort of fumbled roll up, which was fine, I yeah, think, at that point. But then it was like it looked like they were going for the top rope Spanish fly again.
Yeah.
The standout spot from their last match. And didn't come about that way, did it?
Instead, Dijak reversed it into a Canadian destroyer. I've just written here in all caps, like, F in L.
Yeah.
And that was a near fall. Moonsault by Dijak. I've got to give a shout out to Keith Lee's moonsault as well from the second row.
Mm.
Picture perfect moonsault.
They're just both incredible, yeah. aren't they? Like,
But anyway, the moonsault from Dijak, and Lee sat up in the pin holding on to Dijak, and he lifted
like
him
up. He cradled him like a little baby yeah. while he was like, oh, God.
Fireman power slam for the Lee win. Just amazing stuff. His first win on TV in a long time as well.
It's the right choice to start giving him some momentum. Also, just give him that win back because then you can carry on doing these matches. If Dijak had won two now, it yeah. would be pointless continuing this feud.
But are we dropping that Keith Lee storyline that he's lost his way? Like the one he was doing...
Oh,
sort
yeah.
of like in the old era of
They
NXT.
Are just exhibition match people now, I imagine.
Yeah.
And until, like, I think this might be the point where they start building a story out of it. But the story will be on Dijak now because he's the one who needs to come back for... He's the one who lost most recently, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll just build it into the two of them wanting that decider and being like, we need to have a clear winner here because that's it. And then after that, they might pick up Keith Lee.
Yeah.
And his losing streak if he loses the feud overall. But
I was trying
it's
to,
all about this feud at the moment.
Yeah, I was trying to remember as well when Keith Lee's last TV win was. I'm going to assume he's had a squash match this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other loss that I was thinking of was when he lost to Lars Sullivan last October.
Oh, yeah.
He must have had a squash match or two in between that point before we started this because he lost to Priest and then he lost to Dijak. He must have had a squash match somewhere because he kind of just like lost every match for him every year or nearly a year.
All three of them.
Yeah, all three of them yeah. quite. As you said, they did a tale of the tape for Baszler versus LeRae, which is taking place next week with limited commercial interruption. Unlike this show. They recapped Riddle and Dane and what happened after the show last week. And then the Street Profits cut a promo about facing the Undisputed Era for the tag titled next week because it's a stacked old show. Then we got the return of my girl Dakota Kai as she took on Tainara. Kai was like holding back the tears as the crowd welcomed her back with big welcome back chants.
Yeah, I love this.
Lovely.
Nice stuff.
Just lovely.
Tainara not treated to the same.
No, you're here too.
Oh, you.
You're here too. You're here too. There's lots of kicks in this match. Yeah, the captain of Team Kick was doing lots of kicks, but Tainara was also answering with kicks of her own.
I thought Tainara looked really good.
She did,
yeah.
I think that's twice now. In like the last couple of weeks where she's had matches where she's looked really, really good.
Mm.
I think there's definitely something special within Tainara.
Yeah, I don't know if the screaming, wailing character that goes with it is my favourite thing.
But Dakota Kai picked up the win. She hit the big kick in the running quarter and the GTK for the win. I liked it.
I don't like the GTK.
It's not a great... I preferred her backstabber finish that you should have, even though it was super convoluted. The one where she got to the back and then did a big
and
flip
the roly-poly thing. Yeah. That was much better. This GTK thing I'm not into.
No.
Terrible name.
Well, sorry for the fact it's a bad name, but also, like, because Dijak does a much better version of it.
Yeah.
So you don't want to have a finisher that can be easily compared and is not as good.
No. And also just don't do it as a... Just kick her. Work out a way to kick her that doesn't involve having to do the go-to-sleep bit.
Yeah.
Or just do a go-to-sleep and knee her.
Well,
yeah, captain of Team Knee.
Kenta's not there anymore. Kathy Kelly was on that stage that the Undisputed Era were up for previously, and she hyped up Kushida versus Imperium that's going to come up on the network later on in the show.
Even she was confused about where it would be shown.
We've got a video package for Johnny Gargano with him hyping up that he was the heart of NXT.
And not saying when he's coming back, though.
No, because they did tape a match with him and Shane Thorne. Mm. But obviously then plans changed and they've gone to the network, to the USA Network.
Oh, yeah.
No,
so all that they stuff are 100% dropping the Shane Thorne.
So all that
nonsense.
Stuff they taped has been, apparently has been dropped. So, yeah, so I guess they have just dropped that Shane Thorne storyline with him.
Because you've got to imagine Johnny's going to be there next week.
Oh, yeah.
But doing what?
Tommaso Ciampa.
You think? I think Ciampa's going to return. I just don't think I don't think they're going to put him straight in with Johnny again.
Well, no, I'm not saying to set it up, but I'm just saying he's having an in-ring segment, and then you have Ciampa come out, not to set up a feud or anything. It's just as a way to have Ciampa's return and associate it with Gargano.
I'd rather have Ciampa's return just he comes out and stares down Cole after Cole retains.
Also works for me, mate. Speaking of Adam Cole, the number one contendership to his title was determined next when Matt Riddle took on Killian Dane in a street fight. This is like the fourth match that these two have had now, and I've loved every single one of them.
This one was really fun.
Oh, so much fun.
A little bit slow in the beginning, but as soon as they got out of the ring, I was like, oh, okay, this is great now.
Do you also notice NXT have got another advert where they say, join the club? It's not a competition, though.
Be elite. Join the club.
The only club that
we
matters.
We have villains. Spend your bucks wisely on the WWE Network.
Did lots of weapon stuff during the ad break. And then it was just big move after big move. Riddle hitting the Alabama Slam on Killian Dane.
Oh. Into the little floating bro.
Oh, mate, absolutely. Also, he hit a deadlift German suplex as well, so he's the best wrestler this week. There will be another one, though, don't you worry. They battle up into the tech area, and we had a Riddle slapping Dane, and then they crash through a wall into another ad break.
Goes out to ad break, comes back in, and Riddle's just jumping through a table.
But that's great. I like that. We said this last week. One of the things I like about the ad placements for NXT is that they're just continuing the match like they normally would do.
Yeah.
And it makes you then think, God, I wish I could see the rest of this.
Live. This is the thing they did smartly in this match. They went to an ad break, and then when you came back from the ad break, clearly something good happened, and they went, oh, you just missed this.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, cool. Well, that's... Do you know what? If you're going to have the rest holds accidentally at the end of the ad break or whatever, then just, play what happened before.
Completely,
That's why we can rewind video.
We had Vader bombs by Dane, and he hit the third one, but Riddle kicked out. And then we had some kendo stick shots and chair shots. We set up for another Raider bomb, but Riddle got up and hit him with a chair, hit the power bomb out the corner, and the flash knee while Dane was holding the chair.
I love that.
Oh,
spot.
Great
that was
spot!
So fun.
Yeah,
and then Dane kicks out too.
Yeah,
so they traded very near falls there.
Mm, indeed, and then Riddle eventually grabbed the Fujiwara armbar, and Dane tapped out. Wicked stuff.
I like the fact that it was it's not one of Riddle's normal moves, it's not his finisher. It was they kicked out of all the sort of the main things that Riddle been put away by three Vader bombs. Dane had been brought to the edge by the flash knee strike stuff. It's I liked the fact that it didn't end how you would expect it to.
Completely,
it's I'm just gonna hit my finisher now.
Yeah,
it felt like a proper fight, and it was just someone had to give up at some point because
so good.
They had no other option because that will lose their arm.
It was so, so good. And speaking of, Adam Cole came down to mouth off a Riddle saying, you're never going to win this title. You'll never be in my league. And he just grabbed him and locked him in that same arm bar. And Cole was selling it so well, proper screaming and anger, tapping out and everything. The rest of the era run down and Riddle bails and just walks off. And the Undisputed Era are all oh, you know.
You mean it.
Adam Cole's mom. And then we go to the WWE Network. We come back, Cole's still hurt. And the crowd are just chanting, you tapped out at him. Mm-hmm. Really great stuff.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Loved all of this.
The first half of this show was immense.
Oh, incredible.
It'd be interesting to see what they do in the two-hour one when we're going to, like... Are we going to start actually getting proper promos? Like, because every promo package that we've had so far has been, you know, sub 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Little VT of somebody's in-ring stuff and then their name, or Street Profits saying, we're going to have this match.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. Walking out of shot and that kind of stuff. It'd be interesting to see if we do start to get longer promo things again and how they build that into the show properly. Like, will they do it on the debut show?
Or do they think next week they just do all Action?
Yeah. Do they think that Action is the only way to get this over against AEW? Or because I think one of the things that NXT has always done very well is talking.
Mm.
And they make, you know, I think one of the coolest moments of last year's NXT was Ricochet doing the flip in the middle of the promo over
Velveteen
the ropes,
Dream,
lands and just goes, come at me. Like, I think genuinely one of the best moments of wrestling I've ever seen.
I think one of the coolest moments of this year was Io Shirai, her first heel promo debut, where she debuted the whole new look and the new music and everything. She came out, said three words and then left. It was rad.
Yeah.
It was really cool. So yeah, I wonder if next week would be all Action, particularly because, you know, Moxley's got a promo segment. So do you want to use that promo segment to be like, on the other side, there's wrestling.
Mm.
Start to like sort of, it's going to be so fascinating.
Promo segment will be good.
He's a very good promo. It's going to be fascinating next week to see, because I wonder if...
What do you think they'll live counter program? They'll be watching it in the back and be like, you've got to go out and do this.
That's what they used to do back in the day. Like in the 90s during the Monday Night War, they would have Nitro on. Like backstage, they'd be like, okay, so they're going to be doing this segment next. We'll counter it with this. And same with Nitro. They'd be like, okay, Raw's going to do this. Let's go and do this instead. And just counter-program each other.
I would just make loads of fake trailers. Just say you were going to do stuff and not do it.
Yeah. So then we got the second half of the show, which was less good, but started off very well with Rhea Ripley versus Caden Carter.
The former Lacey Lane.
Indeed, yeah. And you said that her new name sounds like a porn star's name.
Yeah.
But in fairness, Lacey Lane also sounds like
so she's picked two porn star names is the problem. Sometimes if you just put put American names together, it just sounds like a porn star. Maybe that's just a British thing.
She did some cool lucha, though, and knocked her earring out at one point.
Yeah, because I was like, my notes was when she came out, I was like, oh, she's going to get killed. And then she didn't.
No, did some lucha. Yeah, it was fun stuff,
She was great.
And then Ripley, so good. Just slammed her down, hit the Riptide for the win. Everything Rhea Ripley is awesome.
I think she's amazing. And I think she's like her. It was good that they did that little package of her. I watched the little PC package actually on the YouTubes about Rhea Ripley's debut in NXT. And they showed when she first appeared in the Mae Young Classic to when she reappeared in the Mae Young Classic. Mm. And it is such a vast difference. And like it was like, oh, you found a character. Like you found a whole thing.
Oh, you like metal music.
Yeah. What's her name? Caden Carter. It was weird to me that she was on this show to have this match against Ripley. And it's like, and we had to have a Leah last week. Like, where's she been?
It's a perfectly good Caden Carter.
There's a perfectly good Caden Carter to lose matches here while still putting in some offense and looking quite good. Just doesn't have to be Aaliyah, does it? She can go back in the closet.
Up next, we had the Britam Bruisers versus the newly named Ever-Rise. Ever-Rise. I'm just glad that this allowed Nigel Morrow to make jokes about Terrorizin, which was Triple H's original gimmick when he first broke into the the world of wrestling. Britam Bruisers won 205 Live on Tuesday. I was actually just chuffed to see that Martel was back on TV because I really, really enjoyed him when they were on a couple of weeks ago in the original version of this gimmick before they were called Ever-Rise.
Ever-Rise. What a terrible, another terrible name.
It's not great, is it?
Bad music.
But I do like Martel, so I'm kind of still into the gimmick.
Gear. I like the gear as well. Match at all.
I did not like the match at all. No, I will agree with you there, but I do like Martel. I do like their gear. I like the plain black tights with the fleur-de-lis on them. I like the fact that they are a bit of a throwback to 90s wrestling tag teams. Yeah. So I kind of like a lot of that. This match was so boring.
This was literally ripped from the 90s playbook of matches. Like, it was so... It was so by the book that it killed the crowd. This was the moment the show, for me, just turned and... It became a bit of a trial to watch through to the end.
It didn't help with the next match either.
No, it didn't help with the next match. It didn't help with the final match. The last match mirrored a lot of what happened in this match. And it was so closely booked that everyone was just like, oh, this again. So this whole match was just the Ever-Rise lads beating up Oney Lorcan.
Yep.
For far too long.
Ages.
It's like, I don't mind a hot tag spot. They're very nice, but just do it in a 5-minute match and not a 10-minute one.
Yeah, it wasn't very good, this. And a poor distraction spot as well, with the referee being like, hey, you're Danny Burch. And that allowed the heels to take over. And I'm like, Burch did nothing wrong.
Danny, hey, you're my boy.
Malfunction at the junction. Burch tagged in. He ran wild. And then the only good part of this match is when he did the big rallying cry, which he just went, Oney! And Oney Lorcan just rose up from the, background, just going, rah!
Summoned Oney Lorcan.
It was hilarious. He did. Yeah. He summoned him like the Kraken. He just rose up. they get in the ring, they hit the assisted DDT for the win. Boring match, but the finish was fun.
It was fun. But it's I don't know. Like, they just would. These guys would have been better used in the Kushida match or in a little showcase match with another tag team. Like, I don't know why they did a hot tag cutting off the ring technical match here. It just didn't feel right. And it's like there are definitely teams I think that can pull it off in NXT. The Revival were the masters of it, but they were over.
Yeah,
and I don't think Ever Eyes are over enough yet.
That's a very good point.
To make that feel like it's worth watching, like Undisputed Era when they did the technical takedown of Mustache Mountain, it is one of the best tag matches I've ever seen, where they throw in the towel. But that's because I'm also happy to watch the Undisputed Era just go about their jobs. In this match, I was just watching to go, well, when's the hot tag coming?
Exactly, yeah. Like, I agree.
Okay, so when are Burch and Lorcan going to win this in 10 seconds?
No, I completely agree with you. Anyway, at ringside, we had Deonna Purrazzo and Chelsea Green shown at ringside. Chelsea Green, very happy. I think Purrazzo was as well, because they were both tweeting like, finally, made it onto TV.
Well, they're in a faction, aren't they? I think they... I've seen some Instagramming stuff of like them having a team name sort of thing. I think someone else is in it as well, but I believe they're going to be a faction.
Oh, cool. Mm. That's interesting. I like that.
Don't hold me to that.
We saw Kushida getting ready backstage, getting into his Back to the Future cosplay, essentially. Yeah.
Just in the kitchen. It's just hanging out.
Yeah, just hanging out, making a cup of tea. and then we got Cameron Grimes in his hat taking on Raul Mendoza. I liked the start of this when Grimes went to do the double feet right at the start, but Mendoza ducked it, and he did the sort of like finger waggle thing. I'll be honest, I had to check my notes last week because I thought it was Raul Mendoza last week. It was Sean Maluta last week.
It was Sean Maluta.
I had to go back. I was like, did we see this match last week? Oh no, it was a different person. But then this was also quite boring.
I think this match was better than the last one.
Yeah.
And but the problem is that I think the last one killed the room so hard that no amount of Raul Mendoza trying to get people on his side as the babyface was working.
No.
Grimes isn't a heel, but is being But he isn't really being presented. He's not acting as a heel. He's winning matches completely fairly.
Yeah, it's true. And I think he is still a heel.
I know, I get that he's it. I know that he's a heel, but he's not like... It doesn't help Raul Mendoza's cause to be the plucky babyface if your heel isn't gloating or being vicious or whatever. It's kind of Grimes's presentation is just as a very good wrestler actually, and then Raul Mendoza was sort of doing a bit of desperate babyface stuff, and it wasn't quite gelling together.
Yeah,
and then all of Raul's flashy, awesome, cool spots where he actually was in control for a fair bit of this match against Grimes didn't come off like, wow, we should all be cheering crazily for this.
Yeah,
I think everyone had lost their sort of luster for the match by that point.
They popped big for like the big step up in Zaguri because it made a big loud slapping noise. And it almost like that loud woke the crowd up. Yeah. Like, oh God, here we are.
Yeah.
Because Grimes had been working over him for quite some time, just doing like, not rest holds, but just sort of like working over the arm for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think Grimes is great. I think Trevor Lee's an incredible wrestler. This match just wasn't connecting with the crowd. It didn't connect with me either.
Let him talk.
It's such a good promo.
Let him talk. Like, let him talk. Let him be a bit more dastardly with the whole thing. Like,
yeah. Tell me what this character is. Like, give me more of what this character is supposed
saying he's
to
a
be.
Saying he's a technical savage, but he's never really savage. He's actually just quite wily and
but
clever.
It's also meant to be like a throwback to the strongman style of sort of like the carny... industry. So yeah, so give us more of what this character
is. Do you
know
what? Hat is not a gimmick. And that's the issue here.
He's got a jacket as well.
Yeah, but the jacket didn't get a long lingering camera shot when he put it on the ring post, because the hat did. They were like zooming into it. I was imagining they're going to put the Mandy Rose Vaseline filter. Look at this hat. Isn't it neat?
Well, maybe we don't know. It's the hat from Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, maybe it's cat. Yeah, and he can become any wrestler who throws it onto.
Anyway, he hit the double stomp out of nowhere. I do like that as a finish. The crowd did boo the win.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't want
to. I think from like, oh, that means you're gaining momentum. We're going to see more of your hat.
And then we got our main event, which was Kushida and two mystery partners versus Imperium. I was so excited for this match because Imperium are really, really cool. Kushida's amazing. And there's a surprise element about it.
Yeah.
So I was super excited for this. Kushida came out first. Then you get the Imperium entrance, which is always amazing. They just look so, so awesome.
It's a wicked entrance.
So good. And then Kushida like taps his watch, points to the back, and I'm like, and it's the Fashion Police. And I was like, ugh. And as I said,
there were bits of me that were like running the numbers, be like, who's worked with WWE that Kushida could get? And I was like, I don't know, like Kota Ibushi. Like, you know, like, it's like coming up with all these like wild theories and names. Yeah. And you're like, there's all these people that WWE has brought in for spot matches and things like that. And it's like, you're starting a show. You could do that as like a Kushida's called in.
I think it had to be someone who was on the roster.
Yeah, but it could have also been someone from Raw. It could have been someone from SmackDown. You know?
And I thought they might have done something like that.
But instead, someone from 205 Live.
But it wasn't. It was the Fashion Police, and yeah, didn't work for me. Nigel had some really weird commentary as well, because he was like, what is this, Demolition Man? I'm like, because they're police? when I look at Breezango, I don't think, oh, it's like Demolition Man. Because those are not connected.
Well, it's like a hen party is what it looks like. Yeah.
And then he called them Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I'm like, because he's a cop? Can't just keep saying cop shows at them. Nothing like that.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Is like it's such a dead end gimmick that no one knows what to do with it.
Yeah,
and they need a revamp. They needed to go. Needed to go in the direction that Tyler Breeze was already going when he returned to NXT.
Yeah,
and they should have just incorporated Fandango into that, changed his name from Fandango, and moved on.
Yeah,
rather than going, oh no, we should just put Breezango back together because that's what's going to get over. And I completely understand the reasoning behind getting Breezango in this match, because they half made the point on commentary that Breezango is kind of offensive to Imperium's creed of like, we respect the ring mat. Like, makes perfect sense. But then do more Breezango stuff.
Yeah.
Don't do neither. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. This didn't work for me at all. And then the match was Imperium working over Tyler Breeze for a long, long time.
I just saw that.
And I like Imperium working people over because I think they're very, very good at it. But as you said, we literally just saw this two matches previous with the Britann Brawlers and the Viagra Pill guys.
Yeah, but it was weird to do it for... This match had like 15 minutes at the end of the show. It was weird to do it for 10 minutes and then have a 2.5 minute hot tag comeback. When you know one, what Imperium are capable of, like Fabian Aichner can do a hopping moonsault from like three different ropes. So why are we not seeing that? Like, are you not trying to get people hyped for next week? What, like, as much as we've shown on the USA half of this, Matt Riddle and Killian Dane wrecking the house, if people are watching all of NXT, this is the thing you leave them with.
Yeah.
This boring match that we just saw 10 minutes ago, done by four different guys.
And if you're not in the US as well, this is the only bit of NXT you got to see this week.
Exactly. And it's like, great. It ends setting up something I do want to see. But I could have happily also watched this if it was done like not just a boring hot tag. Like, this needed a tornado tag.
It should have been more back and forth than what it was. It was the fact that it was them working over Breeze for so long. Like, if you are going to do that match, then you need to structure the Britann Brawlers match different.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, we're just watching the same match twice.
Yeah, but
with
exactly.
different faces. Either way, Kushida finally got in and he hit the Masato Tanaka right hand. I liked his little handspring into the uppercuts. That was really nice, like the uppercut reversal.
Yeah, that was cool.
But then he got an Okada roll for the win, and then Walter attacked him after the match.
And to end on just a wrong, like, oh no,
it was disappointing.
Yeah,
it was disappointing because I was really into this Kushida Imperium feud.
Yeah,
and it just disappointed.
I would have happily watched Kushida versus Imperium, like just on his own.
Yeah, or actually just Kushida versus Fabian Aichner.
Yeah,
Yeah, or Kushida versus Wolf, because Wolf also did a deadlift German suplex in it, so he's great. just against one of the three of them as opposed to the six man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're going to do the six man, don't have it be the Fashion Police. Yeah. As much as I love Breezango and everything, this it didn't work.
Well, it made Kushida. Kushida's character has never been so far, I'm jokey, I'm a joke. Like the obviously he dresses like Marty McFly, whatever. But realistically, his character so far has been, I'll take on anyone and I will win because I'm Kushida and I'm amazing. So why would he be like, yes, you, two jokes, please come help me? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like Kushida's quite driven. Like, he's quite like, okay, he's competitive and driven and he wants to win. It's like, choose someone good.
Can I just say, this could have been worse. I'm going to present a worse scenario of this. We had loads of skits of Breezango giving him fashion advice about dressing like Back to the Future characters. This could have been way worse and getting to change his gear.
Yeah.
Just saying, I'm just positing a worse version of this.
But like, I mean, the potential when you go, okay, they're mystery partners. Like, Mustache Mountain would have made, like, with Imperium as well, would have made so much sense after the Tyler Bate-Walter match from TakeOver Cardiff, from all the stuff before that that they were doing with British Strong Style and Imperium.
Yeah.
It's like, there were so many options to just bring people in that would really pop people. Because you could have just put Breezango in the match against Lorcan and Birch and just had that as an exhibition match. And that would have been fine too.
Yeah.
It didn't need to be Breezango here. I don't think they added anything because they didn't play off the idea that Breezango's stupid freaking gimmick is offensive to Imperium.
So anyway, that was the show as a whole. What did you score it in your review that's going up later?
I gave it a finest.
Yes, that's three out of five. And I think that's fair because while I thought the first hour was amazing, second hour really dragged.
I think the first hour was a five-star
hour. 100%.
And the second hour was maybe a two-star hour. And it dragged down the average.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. But what say you? Let's get on over to Randy Andy Datsun with the Super Chats.
Well, it's interesting that you said that Lacey Lane sounds like a porn star, and that you said that Everrise sounds like a Viagra brand, because that is exactly what I wrote in my news piece about 3 hours ago. So individually, we have thought the same thing. So, but Tim Arndt says...
Also, I had all these jokes in the NXT review for later, so look forward to those.
Tim Arndt says, not wrestling rated, but I'm heading out to a thrash concert tomorrow. Any advice? I've been to plenty of shows, but more advice is always good.
To have fun, I guess. Yeah, you can enjoy some thrash metal.
Don't do drugs.
Stay in school.
Zach Icon Lindner adding on to his message from yesterday, saying adding salt to water raises its boiling temperature.
Yeah, someone was messaging yesterday. Was it Zach yesterday messaging about adding salt to water when you're doing pasta?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah. But anyway, that was the
that you were
was
just
the,
like, yeah.
Well, no, I was like, yeah. It's also, just it's seasoning and stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, it's also about boiling water.
Yeah,
yeah.
Canelmaprobile says a little bit of the rumbly.
A little bit of the rambly.
A little bit of the rambly.
Well, he says rumbly. So
We're going to be changing the name of the show. The Wrestle Ramble won't be no more. So we're going to go to Wrestle Talk Live. It's because we found out recently a lot of people think it's the Wrestle Rumble. And that's why people can't find it on iTunes or any of their podcast feeds.
Speaking of a little bit of bubbly, whilst we've been on here, Chris Jericho has applied for a trademark for a little bit of bubbly for a drinks purposes. So it sounds like he is really making the most of this and will be bringing out a drink called Little Bit of Bubbly.
Well, it's a good job that joke is still in the public conscience, really, isn't it?
Jericho.
Start recording. What an entrepreneur. Says, not NXT related, but I'd really like Gable to be drafted to Raw so we can get Styles versus Gable for the US Championship. Sounds like a solid feud to me.
I'll be honest, I thought Gable was on Raw. Oh, I don't know what brand he was on, but I suppose him being on SmackDown makes sense.
Yeah, he is on SmackDown.
He's on Smacky D's.
Kevin says, ooh, Oni.
So memeable.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah.
Chris says, we are no BS. Looks like we are knobs.
I like that. That's good.
Just don't leave them on screen at the same time, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Start Recording says, quick question, will the 4th of October SmackDown be on BT Sport in the UK? No, it will not. That's not until 2020.
Yeah.
Crazy Lewis, who's one of our website writers, says, I am blessed to share my 18th birthday with Chopper. So happy birthday to Lewis.
Happy birthday,
good
Lewis.
Happy birthday.
Lincoln Jack Donme says, I'm yet to consummate my magazine.
Definitely don't consummate a magazine.
No.
Think of the paper cuts, mate.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Pages sticking together. The Zach Icon Linda says, I don't have a TV in the US, so the fight thing works for me.
As obviously in regards to the AEW deal. Mm. Yeah, I mean, a fight's the way we're going to go as well, mm-hmm. to be able to watch it live.
Because actually, £4 a month, it really isn't that much.
$4 as well.
Yeah.
Because like, it's in US dollars. So actually, with the, I suppose with the pound rate at the moment, it's probably about 25 quid.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But actually, it's still dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's actually pretty good. I think it's pretty good value for money.
Austin Baker says, no, that was for earlier. James Kevin.
Come on, Randy. This is your last show doing this.
I literally screamed when Lee kicked out of the moonsault. What a moment.
So cool. Yeah, just lifting him up as well, as you say, cradling him. It was wonderful.
It was the Undertaker spot, but also yeah. with a baby. Gigantic man baby.
Gigantic man baby.
Anton H says, Lee Dijak was like a WCW Cruiserweight show opener.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it as well. So good. I mean, yeah, the commentary were putting over very hard. Like, this is a Cruiserweight match, but with, you know, two fridges.
It's like those, it's like all those things that people have done of, like, Sasha Banks. If you put Sasha Banks into Google, people just fatted her up in all the pictures. This was that, but as a match.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know.
Have you seen that thing that on Google as well, if you Google Friends characters? Like, just the actual character names. There's, like, little gimmicks in the corner. If you press them, they do little animations.
Mm.
I'll show you one now while Randy's doing our next question.
Luis Jamie
Look up
Perez
Sasha Banks.
Says, happy original Rusev Day. WrestleTalk Matchka.
That's right. It's the original Rusev Day today. Ollie put it in as a recurring event in our Google Calendar because he thought it would be a gimmick that will last forever.
It will last forever.
But anyway, yeah. So
no, he's just fathering babies now.
Oh, no, that's been dropped now.
That's been dropped as what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's not connected to Maria at all. So why he debuted in that segment, again, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, if you Google...
because of his pervy tash.
If you Google Ross Geller and then you go like that, it says pivot.
Now Google fat Sasha Banks.
I'm not Googling fat Sasha Banks.
Just go on there, Google fair, Sasha Banks.
To be fair, it is really funny. I've seen it.
This is the first time I've ever heard of this sort of thing. The internet's a weird place.
Everyone at home, Google fat Sasha Banks.
Google along with us.
This, as
a
you can
weird
see.
Weird thing.
And as you can see, this completely describes the Lee Dijak match. Everyone, they were just, all the proportions were stretched for cruiserweights.
What a weird thing to do.
It was actually Leo Rush versus Drew Gulak.
Oh, of course it's on DeviantArt.
Okay.
Well, that's my weird internet discovery for the week. Bloody hell. Come on, people.
Yeah. George Wadolove says, Rhea Ripley is a future star. This is my brutality.
She's awesome.
She's going to get so monster push.
Oh, yeah.
I think once Baszler's... maybe she's the one to take it off Baszler. I don't know. That's where they were going. But maybe they've dropped that completely. So I feel like she'll be the Baszler once Baszler's moved on.
I'm going for it. Sticking by my plan. It's War Games. And Ripley's the one who pins Baszler. And that sets up the championship match for Rumble weekend.
Damien Wade says...
Watch Candice LeRae win the title next week now.
Yeah.
My really mum thinks Keith Lee is awesome, says Damien Wade.
Your mum is right.
Keith's amazing.
Your mum is awesome.
Yeah, Keith is so cool. What a nice guy as well.
Forged by Gaming says, stupid question. If you managed a four-man/woman stable, who would you pick? Not a stupid question. It's a fine question.
Exactly. That's a great question. I want to have the big lads. So it's going to be Keith Lee, Dijak, Walter, and Fat Sasha Banks. That's going to be my...
Fat Banks!
Fat Banks, that's going to be my foursome.
I only do the four horsewomen, and I just want all four horsewomen, but they are actually horsewomen.
The WWE version.
The four centaurs is what I want.
You want that?
Yeah.
The Rousey version or the Banks version?
The Fat Banks version. The four fat
horsewomen.
We can't
make this a thing. I felt bad for saying it.
Why? It's not her. It's
the weird.
It's barely even a deep fake. It's not.
I'd only have three, and I'd pick.
No one asked you, Randy.
Kushida and the Fashion Police.
All three of the Fashion Police.
Jobber JJ says WWE is being WCW on Something Happened. Go check it out for yourselves. Also, AEW on Twitter said that I rock. How will AEW TV work for pay per views in the UK? Well, the pay per views are live free, aren't they?
Yes, and also they said that they're going to be airing, because at the moment the time frame is it goes out on Sundays, mm-hmm. but on pay-per-view weekends it goes out on Saturdays. That's kind of essentially the best they could get, I suppose. Apparently the report is that they had the TV deal was there, they were going to go live on ITV4, but then on the weekend ITV changed their minds and have presented this deal instead. And the reaction to this has been, I thought, was quite funny, because a lot of people seem to think it was AEW's fault. As if AEW went into ITV and said, you know what time I really want? 8:20 on a Sunday morning. You mean that time or nothing else?
Prime time, baby.
and then walked out. But I think it's just an ITV decision, and it's not a great one. It's actually quite terrible.
Yeah, it's a bad decision. For a channel that mostly shows, like, car programs.
But they're cheap, aren't they? That's it. It's like the report is it's going to cost them, if they were air it live, it would cost them £30,000, I think, per episode. So, yeah, you may as well get some lad who picks up old cars and, you know, turns them into motorbikes or something for £200 an episode. True. Might as well pick that instead.
Yeah, the Sean William Scott Lethal Weapon.
Oh, God, bad show.
Someone on Twitter's done a bit of research, I think, into this, and sort of because there was a suggestion that it's all to do with commercial breaks and advertising, and apparently he's completely debunked that and said that's all nonsense. So.
Well, ITV have always said that before, though, because it's 12 minutes of advert. Well, it's 12 minutes of adverts for UK TV time an hour, I believe it's this, whereas it's 16 in the US, and because it's with BT and Sky, they. Because they're subscription services, they get away with it slightly differently. Because they have the 12 minutes of advert, but then just fill the rest of the time with, like, coming up on Sky Sports or, you know, just rolling images of WWE stuff. But I don't think ITV can get away with it. That's what I've always been under the impression of anyway.
There isn't enough content in Love Island to fill the time. That's why.
Kirik says, support Wrestle Talk. I love you all.
Thank you very much. We love you.
Josh Lynette says, need a London house short term. Can I be housemate Josh?
I mean, not with me, but have you got any spare?
No, unfortunately, housemate Simon is taking it up.
Oh.
Ollie really wants. Oh, I don't live in London. Ollie has lots of room there.
Housemate Guildford.
Don't tell him where I live.
What? As if anyone's going to come and see you. That's a lie German Dan went and saw him.
Connor Short says, how are UK fans going to watch NXT the next day?
When it goes up on Thursday evenings.
Yeah.
That's how. George Whatevav says...
That's not a great deal either. But again, it's...
Have you tried Googling?
Well, I mean, I'm not...
That's Sasha, but I mean, watch rest.
I'm not going to suggest that because it's the naughty way of doing it. But I do think it's always been the case that the US is the big market.
Yeah.
That's the one that companies are going to put all their focus into first before looking outside.
Well, absolutely,
and that's what WWE have done. It's what AEW are currently doing. It makes sense.
People wouldn't go for the naughty way if there was a normal way to watch things, usually.
Exactly, yeah.
You would find.
George Wadilove says, £5 if anyone can pronounce my name right. It's Wadilove. I'm guessing Vadilove? Vadilove,
yeah.
Vadilove.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
Wadilovey.
It's like Jake Gyllenhaal, isn't it?
Gyllenhaal!
Yeah.
Gyllenhaal.
Kevin says, I thought that Street Profits would team with Kushida since they were the first to defend Riddle last week in the big brawl.
Street Profits would have been a great shout.
There were many better shouts.
Yeah.
Caleb Maldonado says, will any of you be playing the new Dragon Quest game? The demo alone is fantastic. Also, Wooloo for WrestleTalk mascot.
Wooloo!
I've got the demo on my Switch. I just haven't got around to playing it yet. I probably will play through all of Dragon Quest XI, Echoes of an Elusive Age.
I still haven't finished Spider-Man. Or Resident Evil 2 for that
matter. Games from 20 years ago. He's not finished Castlevania.
It's very true. In fact, actually, since I got my PlayStation 4 a few years ago, I have finished two games. I've finished Doom, which was amazing, and the first Uncharted.
Fabulous. It's like we played the good Uncharted.
And the last one for today is from Nathan the Alpha Wolf Vela, who says, Happy National Pancake Day. Awoo. Which is strange, because you'd have thought that National Pancake Day would have been Pancake Day.
Well, that's only in the UK, though, isn't it? That's you being a bit of a...
I'm just being really xenophobic.
So... Yeah. Why is it only in the UK that Pancake Day, though? Because I thought Pancake Day was to do with Easter.
It was to do with using up all the Christian thing, isn't it?
And nonsense about these were the only things around, so you made pancakes.
I mean, I didn't.
Why is Pancake Day different?
I didn't do very well at religious studies at school, so unfortunately, I can't really help you
out. Did you just think we just had an English Pancake Day?
Well, no, I mean, so fun story. I mean, we've run quite short in this episode, so I can tell this story. But for RE once, we had to create our own national holiday.
Right.
And because I was 12 years old and thought I was cool.
Quackshot Day.
Oh, if I'd have done that, it would have been a very different story. But no, I did National Kurt Cobain Day because I thought Nirvana were the greatest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. So I did this whole sort of like tribute to Kurt Cobain Day. And I was like, you had to talk about what people would do on that day. And I would like, you'd put on concerts and you'd have tribute acts doing this sort of thing and stuff. Anyway, I got ungraded. My teacher refused to mark it because Kurt Cobain committed suicide. And that's against God's way. So I got a big fat zero for all that work that I did, which admittedly was not a great deal.
Weird because Nirvana is definitely like a religious, a semi-religious thing.
I know,
well,
right?
You know,
yeah.
The majority of my religious studies teachers weren't religious at all. So that's
yeah. No, mine was.
Our RE stuff was mostly arguing. All the tests were you just got marks if you put forward the two sides of an argument. It wasn't like. Just this is right. As long as you went, this is right. But there are also some people who believe this because X, Y, Z. Then it was like, tick, tick.
Yeah, and you do the whole thing. Like we watched The Green Mile, and we watched what's the other one? It's the is it the Sean Penn movie where he's been arrested, and he's going on death row, and someone's I can't remember what that film's called now. There's spoilers at the end. Turns out he did do it, but you spent the whole movie thinking that he didn't do it.
And what did you do at the end?
Well, it's all about like
it, will he get into heaven?
Dead man walking.
I was going to say it's Dead Man Walking. All I could think of was Dead Man's Shoes. Not like it's a very different film.
I failed my mock RE exam.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think I did an exam. But I did fail my general studies exam.
I failed it on purpose, and then they made me resit the mock exam, and then I sat the actual exam and got an A.
I failed my ICT. Functional skills exam, so I didn't pass the Microsoft Excel part, so that's probably why I was struggling. So
we were trying to create that table. But, come back from lunch, and he's like, "Look, I can't create a graph." And I'm like, "What on earth, mate? Have you tried doing this?"
I know how to create a graph. I just don't know how to create that graph. I fixed it now. We've actually had two more super chats, so I'll do those quickly. Razman's Reality says, "Hey boys, I was just wondering, is the Weekend Magazine show still happening with the changes to SmackDown being on Saturday?"
Yes, we're looking to do it on a Friday. We're going to do it live on Friday. Is the current
time
plan?
The live banter.
But that is it's TBC, but that is currently the plan.
What about Ramble Club?
We'd record that afterwards.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, fine.
And one that'll disappoint you very much, Luke, is Zach Eigenlinder says, can Andy do a rolling R Drake Maverick spot?
No, but I do want to talk about this, though. So this was pointed out on our Discord channel, and then we'll wrap this show up. But someone pointed out that the new Raw logo looks like a Power Rangers visor.
Oh, it does! Whoa.
So that makes me like the new Raw logo even more now. So we've been having a chat recently on the podcast about the way that insults used to be in schools back in the 90s when we were there and how they are now. And it's just like, because we appear to be in a more progressive world. At least that's the way I sort of look at the world now. I think that it's a much nicer place than it was when we were growing up in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And people have been getting in touch with us who are going to school and been sort of giving us a bit of an update to let us know what the sort of like lingo is. Apparently, at least according to one email that we've had, calling people a nonce is a big thing. Like that's the new insult of choice.
A friend of ours didn't know what nonce meant. They just thought it meant sort of like...
A silly person.
I was like, no, it's like a paedophile. Like, like, oh, I just thought it was like a comical idiot. Like,
you're talking nonsense.
Yeah.
Anyway, this one comes in from... Amor, I'm going to guess, is A-M-O-G-H. Amor? I do apologize. Hello, WrestleTalk crew. I am 16-year-old student from India. On hearing you want to know about today's teenage use of homophobic or racist slurs, I thought I would share my opinion. Although we don't use social media for cyberbullying or ragging on others, we do use it for general jokes and memes. The use of the word gay is still quite frequent and offensive because it's not until April that this year being legally LGBTQ was legalized by the government. Also, since we are a smarter generation than you, we modify the N-word or bitch by censoring it with consonants, with a B, the B emoji, or, for example,
You said emoji, he's lost. what's happening?
Well, it's basically, it's replacing the consonants, which I used to think were consonants. I once held, when I was at university, I once hosted a
there
countdown.
Are only five consonants.
Well, I was hosting. Well, more, no, there's five vowels, and the rest of them are consonants.
Yeah,
but I was hosting a countdown quiz at a pub, and I kept saying consonants.
Yeah,
and people kept correcting me, saying no, it's consonants.
like, what a way to find out.
I was like, sorry, what are you saying? And they were like, no, it's consonant. I was like, that's consonant, isn't it?
I am poorly equipped for this quiz.
I was very drunk as well.
I am not exactly Carol or Rachel, depending on when you were doing
this. Was Carol, this is way before was, Rachel.
Sad times.
I was a big fan of Carol and her calculator.
Back in the year 2000, BR, before Rachel.
So crap at maths was Carol Vorderman, and a math-based quiz show, so there with a calculator kind of like, I think you could probably do it this way. Not like Rachel. She just is like, that, blah, 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 blah. No, every number, that guy.
I think they've just made earpieces smaller, realistically, haven't they? She's got Siri.
The game's just changed.
Yeah.
Essentially, what they are doing is all the consonants within a rude word, like the N-word or the B-word, neither of which you should use anyway.
Right.
I just want to point out, apparently 16-year-olds are still using them as insults. Okay, well, so you say, for example, bumhole.
Yeah.
Would be, you'd replace all the consonants in that with the B emoji. Not the flying bzzz B, but the letter B emoji.
But that still just spells the word, like, all well, the
no, but
all
yeah,
of
but
them.
Then M was also be a B as well. So it'd be like, it'd say like,
bub, hub, bub, bub, B.
It was, well, yeah, a lot
Bub-a-B.
Of
B's. that's quite a fun game, isn't it? Like,
well, I mean, I like this sentence here. This is not as offensive. And also, social media won't censor it because it's an emoji. I mean, that sounds like you want to be offensive and have just found a way around
so
it.
So that is, yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is like, it is as offensive because the intention is there.
Yeah.
If you've used the word to be offensive, then it is offensive.
Offensive, yeah.
You can make any word offensive if you say it with enough, like, ferocity. If you say anything with enough intent, it can be quite rude.
Yeah. I hate you, Batman.
You're bald, Luke!
Exactly, yeah. Sometimes, brackets, a lot of the times, close brackets, we use... Holy hell. I'm not sure I can read this. They also like to use super offensive abuses.
Yeah.
But yes, it would be my... Yeah, because apparently...
I mean, I feel like that was... Yeah, so we're much more liberal than you guys.
Yeah, apparently so. P.S., I mean, granted, this is a country that's only just made it legal to you be gay, I guess.
Yeah, true.
But yes, it will be my third year WrestleTalk YouTube channel subscription anniversary and my 1 year podcast anniversary at Survivor Series this year. Thank you for being so entertaining. Keep up the good work, guys. Much appreciate. Love from India. Amor.
Thanks so much, bumhole.
It's a fact. I find it so interesting. Because not only is, like, the great thing about this podcast is that we're a very open forum, we like to learn things. Someone's been getting in touch with us recently in, like, educating us about the furry community.
Ooh.
Which has been really, really interesting. But we also don't just get to see from, like, 16-year-olds and how they're sort of, like, acting around school these days and what, you know, insults are still being used and what insults have very much been phased out and how open poor people are. We get to hear all over the world how different cultures treat these sorts of things. And it's very interesting.
Ooh.
Let's see, what else have we got in the mailbag that we can do quickly before we get to the show itself? I think actually we're pretty much out of emails.
Whoa.
Oh, that was
always good.
Oh, actually, I will tell you this joke though, because this was on yesterday's show, but it really made us laugh. It's from James, who says, what happens when you eat aluminium foil?
Well, I don't know.
You sheet metal. It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Have we got? No, we haven't got time. Sorry, Reese. I've just found your Get Better email, but I haven't. Well, we'll do that on the Saturday show. But thank you so much for sending it in regardless. But thank you so much for listening. It's been quite the ride.
It has.
Because you and I have been doing this for over a year now, I think, the NXT review. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. We've had, you know, some really good episodes. And a lot of filler episodes.
A lot of fine.
A lot of...
Not a lot of bad, though. That was, I think, that's the key thing. To it. There hasn't been very much terrible NXT.
And it's just been a fun old ride.
It
but I'm going to...
indeed.
Hand the reins over to Pete.
While you defect as well.
Oh, well, I defect and I go and review AEW because that Tony Khan
to the true,
really
not
nice.
Real true alternative, not true but it's also, not a, but not a competition.
But it's not a competition.
It's not a competition.
We're not at war, really.
I am.
Uh-oh. Oh, man, that weekly meeting is going to be really good now because you and I...
divided.
Going to be head-to-head on podcast stats. Mm. Oh.
There we go.
What a time to be alive. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Saturday with the magazine show talking about, I don't know, maybe the AEW UK TV deal because it's not great.
Oh, yeah, that is a horror show.
All, there he is. Not, it's not good at all. So maybe we'll dive into
choose
that.
Choose between one of these two terrible time slots.
Or we'll talk about something else. But if you are one of our pod swatters and you are a subscriber, if you are a subscriber, if you're part of the, you know, subscribe to the feed, good at talking.
You put
a
pause in there for no reason. Subscribe her.
If you subscribe her, then you will get a sneak peek at our patron exclusive Wrestle Ramble extra podcast where we review Unforgiven 2006. A very bland show, but it was surrounded by a lot of controversy. Dearie me. That, well, yeah,
the last one, we were always over the line, Luke. The last one, you're fluffing it up, aren't you?
Just ballsing it up left, right, and centre now. The controversy surrounding the poll on Patreon and sort of like the divisiveness that that show created and the mere suggestion of doing a review of All In, which you reviewed last year and neither you or Ollie could remember doing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It was in the Red Room of Death.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But anyway, you get to hear all of that controversy in detail in a free sneak peek of the Wrestle Ramble Extra podcast. So keep an eye out for that. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.